Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh! Let him play!
Down 21-0 in the fourth quarter, they kicked a field goal. Fire everybody. Disband the program.
Oh yeah, another clank by Carmelo. Oh, that Porzingis!
Clank.
I like that, Dave. I'm in foreclosure because I lost my arch.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big football show. Good to have you back with us as we begin another great football season in 2017. It doesn't feel like football season around us right now because it has been hot, hot, hot in Los Angeles, but we are ready for the fall. And it's right on the doorstep. We have a lot of college football kicking off tomorrow on Thursday, more on Friday, more on Saturday, more on Sunday, more on Monday. And so this is a great time to do our college football kickoff program and as we start another season of football picks with the crew. Tonight on the air, we will have John in Connecticut and Andy in Seattle and our special guest picker, which we'll reveal in a moment, along with Ron New Jersey's picks, which will come via the text. So Ron will be with us next week, probably. And you heard him last week on the preview. So hopefully good picks from all. So we're going to wait for a moment while we get Andy on the program. And let's see. We do have a lot to discuss, some good picks. And I'm really excited about the whole thing. Here he comes. There's Andy in Seattle. And so let's get to it. We certainly have a lot of hopes and dreams on the table. Definitely a big favorite in Alabama, but there are many, many teams that could make a push to be something interesting this year. And so the college football playoff may not be what everybody thinks. And it all starts with our kickoff. And, you know, you got to watch for those traps. But there's a lot to decide between now and January. So it should be a really good time. We'll also cover NFL starting next week. And this is the contest that everybody has been waiting for. The moment is here. The players are ready. The cheerleaders are ready to bounce. Let's hit it! Football Picks 2017. Good to have it with us here in the city. And we once again revisit and rejoin everybody in our panel. And that would be, of course, Andy in Seattle, Ron in New Jersey, John in Connecticut, and yours truly, Dave Medina, along with a rotating group of guest panelists. And all of us together do two college picks and two pro picks every week, except for a couple of weeks when one or the other isn't in action. And at the end of the season, we tabulate the total picks, and the panelists with the most picks wins the contest. And you know what's funny? I've never come up with a prize for the winner. That's kind of unfortunate. But let me just quickly give you a recap of what happened last year. Andy is the defending champion. Last year, he went 33-26-1 for a first-place finish. Great year for Andy. Ron was in second at 29-29-2. John was in third at 27-30-3. And I remember that he was rallying towards the end to get to 500. Didn't quite make it, but got pretty close, so that's not too bad. And me, Dave, terrible year, 26-34. We'll try to rebound from that this time around. We had our guest picks last year, too. They went 32-28 with a lot of the panelists interested in coming back, too. So we'll hear from some of those guys again this year. And we will introduce somebody new for this season. And that guy is our good friend who we call the Sports Pope. And he would be Chris in Georgia. Chris, welcome to the program. Good to have you re-debut with us here on Football Picks. How's it going tonight?
Thanks, Dave. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, so far so good. And now, Chris, I got to introduce you to some other fellas. And we start with the defending champion, Andy in Seattle. Andy, welcome back to the show, and good to have you back defending the title. How's it going, Andy?
Pretty good, everybody. Dave, you have a little bit of reverb. I'm not sure if it's my phone or what, so I don't know. But great to be back for another season of talking and picking college pigskin games and NFL games.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. Let's introduce John in Connecticut to the program. John, welcome back. Good to have you after the preview last week. How's it going tonight, John?
Doing well, Dave. I cannot believe we are back again doing the picks. It just feels like yesterday we were
wrapping things up. So very excited to be back. And my record was just a bit under 500 this year. We'll try to get over that. My NFL picks were really good. College, not so much. So we'll try to get off to a good start this year with the college pick'em scenario.
Good deal. John, are we getting reverb on your end too, or is that something everyone else is hearing?
No, I'm good. I think it might be Andy's phone.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully that clears up, Andy. So we'll carry on as we get started. So as we were mentioning, there's literally a lot of aspirations on the table, and I think we'll start by getting a quick look at what's ahead as we and we'll do that after we preview some of this week's game. So this kickoff is going to be really interesting. We seem to get it more spread out more and more each week. And when you talk about some of the teams that are involved, I mean, you got some great matchups. I'll run some of them down here. I mean, Colorado State and Colorado. You have Michigan against Florida. You've got Florida State against Bama. You have West Virginia against Virginia Tech. And then, if that wasn't enough, even though this may not end up being a matchup of titans, Tennessee versus Georgia Tech could be a lot of fun. And you also have a fun matchup with two coaches on the hot seat, with Texas A&M going to the Rose Bowl to play UCLA. So definitely some juicy games on the slate. We'll start with Andy and get your look at what's to come this season with the kickoff games. We'll do like a more of an overarching like potpourri sort of thing after the fact. But first, let's take a look at this week's action. Andy, which of these games are intriguing to you as we kick off the season?
Yeah, you know, it's a blank canvas. Everybody starting fresh. Everybody feeling good about themselves. Everybody with aspirations on being there late December, early January, preparing for a big blazing bowl. But you got to play the games to be there. I know you mentioned Alabama. I guess they're going to be pretty good again this year. Obviously, they're going to be good again. I mean, when aren't they good? They're a machine from that standpoint. Washington, although they lost a bunch of stars on defense and at the receiving position, a lot of the Mongos out here expecting them to have a good year. Them and USC are going to contend to the P12. I'll try not to regurgitate what you guys all talked about last week, so I'll just stick it to the games this week. But, you know, you mentioned a pretty good slate. You know, Oklahoma State tomorrow looks to get their season in high gear against Tulsa. That Colorado State rivalry only seems to be getting bigger and brighter every year. You know, Colorado had a really good season last year. They got a, you know, the backup quarterback last year is now the starting quarterback this year. We'll see if they take a step back or continue to build momentum. You know, Colorado State's always pesky year in and year out. You know, we can talk about that Bama FSU game in a little bit, into that Virginia Tech West Virginia game. You know, even UCLA A&M is going to be a fun game to pay attention to. You know, Ohio State, Indiana, I wouldn't watch that game if they were playing it inside my eardrum. And also Tennessee, Georgia Tech, that is just a turd dressed up in a little tutu and a little Tabasco sauce. It's still a turd.
Good stuff. Okay, so that's a good recap, Andy. Let's go to John, and let's get your look at what's come this season and what's happening in the kickoff. What intrigues you from this weekend's games?
Yeah, I mean, we'll probably go into a little more detail on the FSU-Bama game. That's kind of the first thing that comes to your mind. I mean, ESPN's been hyping it as, like, the best opening game ever. You know how they are with these kind of things. But, you know, a really good matchup. I mean, these two teams theoretically could both make the college football playoff. Even if, you know, the team loses, it's still going to be in good shape. They can still finish strong the rest of the year. You didn't mention the BYU-LSU matchup, which is – and moved from Houston, obviously, because of the horrible situation there with the flooding. And they moved it to New Orleans in the Superdome. Certainly probably more of an LSU home crowd at this point for that matchup. But that was the right decision to make. The game Monday night, yeah, I agree with Andy. Tennessee, Georgia Tech, not exactly thrilling, but hey, it's college football on Labor Day night. We're probably going to watch it. The West Virginia-Virginia Tech game, two teams that are starting new quarterbacks this year. And it's interesting, you know, with all this conference realignment, I mean, that used to be a conference game in the Big East up until about, I don't know, say 2005, before both teams went their separate ways. So interesting matchup there. And then you have a couple other kind of under the radar games. I'll mention them for my picks, but you have like a high major team playing a low major that could be interesting. So what we've seen is a continuing theme over the last few years in the advent of the college football playoff is a lot of these schools scheduling big time games to open the season, and that's what as fans we like to see.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I really do hope that some of those big matchups live up to the hype. And like you said, Sean, there is a lot of hype for that Alabama game, and that's what ESPN's good at, hyping stuff. So let's now go to Chris in Georgia, proud Clemson fan. And, you know, you're thinking of defending the title. I mean, Clemson defending the title, although without Deshaun Watson. What are you looking forward to with them? And then speak to some of the matchups this week coming up, including your team's matchup.
Sure, Dave. Yeah, so obviously the big thing is the spotlight is on Kelly Bryant, who's, you know, first starter and a quarterback, and see what he can do. It should be a relatively easy matchup against Kent State, but all eyes will be on him, of course. Not to go too far into Clemson, but a lot of people, have them in the top 10, but don't really know where to put them. So it'll be an interesting year because, they could be all over the map when you think about it. I don't want to, I don't want to rehash what everyone else has said. I love the first week. I mean, it's I find it tough to make picks this week just because you really don't have a feel for some of these teams. I think you guys neglected to mention Washington's playing Rutgers. I'm into all these games. I'll tell you, even that Georgia Tech Tennessee game. I don't know why I could get into that on Monday night for sure. I mean, Tech is always interesting with their offense, and we all like to laugh at Tennessee, so it should be a good time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, because everybody says watch out for Tennessee. I mean, could you believe that they were in the top 25 for preseason? We're talking about that.
Because it's every year that happens.
I know. It's just ridiculous. All right, so let's, I guess we can just get right to it, right, guys? Let's get right to the picks. And we start with our leader, Andy, in Seattle. And again, here's a good way to kick it off. Andy, two picks from the college slate. It's all yours when you're ready.
All right. I didn't really want to go first, but I wrote a bunch of games down and I was going to see if anyone was going to pick, and I would have just trimmed the fat accordingly because I have really no confidence and really no concise or objective rationale for these games. You know, like everyone says, it's week one. You're just going by historical prejudices or historical favoritisms, and you know, I listened to the podcast last week to try to get a little bit of study scenario in the mix, and I still don't really know what to make out about some of these teams. You know, in college, the teams basically take after their coach for the most part because the coach lasts longer than the players half the time, and it's even more random in this day and age in the transfer era where so many players can just go from one school to the other without sitting out. And I mean, that's more of a quarterback thing, but I was getting a kick listening to you guys last week talk about all the different quarterbacks on the new teams. But yep. we'll just get going with some of these picks here. Pick number one, we're going to go to Oklahoma State. And I saw them giving 17.5 to the Tulsa Hurricane. So we're going to keep it that way unless you guys see a different line. I'm going to take Oklahoma here. Too much offense for the Tulsa team. And as we all know, Tulsa is a team that although they can score when they are playing at their best, they really can't defend no matter how talented they are. And over the time of the game, Oklahoma State will just have too much firepower. This is an Oklahoma State team that has national championship aspirations. They are returning everybody from a field possession scenario. And the quarterback's a stud. They got a couple of wide receivers, I think, that can go up and down the field. And they got a running back that's pretty tip-top shape, too. I know Bundy is a pass the ball first, pass the ball second, and run third guy. But even that running back last year put up some good numbers. I think this will be a showcase game for Oklahoma State. Get the season started on the right foot. And, you know, Tulsa's a team, like I said, you close your eyes and you see them give up 35 to 55 points a game. I think Oklahoma State's going to score, you know, upper 40s when all is said and done. So give me Oklahoma State minus a 17.5 for game number one. And game number two, you know, there's a bunch of games that I could pick, you know, whether it's Bama, whether it's Washington, whether it's Colorado. But I am going to take Virginia Tech giving 4 against the West Virginia Hurricane. This is a strictly pro Justin Fuente, anti-Dana Holgorsen pick. And I wasn't even a Will Grier fan when he was at Florida. So why am I going to be a Will Grier fan when he's at West Virginia? I think this is a mismatch from a coaching X's and O's standpoint. I don't know much about Virginia Tech this year. I know they had a pretty good season last year, year one under Fuente. And eventually, over time, you know, Virginia Tech's culture is going to morph, it already is, away from the former defense slash special teams mantra to the Fuente offense that was very prolific at the other place that he used to coach. And, you know, John and Ron were high on Fuente long before the mainstream was keen to notice his skills. So, like I said, last year they had a pretty good season. I think they played Clemson pretty tight. Early in the year last year, I thought they were going to beat Tennessee. And that was in the time when Tennessee was basically after being down 14 to 21 points a game, Tennessee would always find a way to nibble. But then, course corrected, and Tennessee ended up becoming where we all thought they'd end up being. So, and Virginia Tech had some, you know, ups and downs, but mostly it was a good season for Fuente, and I expect bigger and better things for them this year. And I think West Virginia, you know, is a middle of the road type of team. You're going to see the same thing again this year. Beat themselves, stupid penalties, defensive miscues, things of that nature. And I think the quarterback is just going to be, you know, he couldn't really throw the ball very well for Florida. I don't expect him to do that much better for West Virginia, but I could be wrong. And the game's in Blacksburg, so give me Virginia Tech minus 4. Two very square home teams for me this week, but it's week one. You know, don't get crazy here.
No, I think you're right about that, Andy. It's. I think Chris was right. Like, it's really tough to predict the week one games because you just don't know a whole lot about how teams would play against one another. So you never want to get too far on a limb with a selection. So good stuff. Let's go bring to you Ron in New Jersey's picks for week number one in our football picks program, and that's week number one in college football as well. So here they are. Ron's picks are Georgia Tech plus 3 against Tennessee. No surprises here. We all know his long documented distaste for Tennessee. I mean, it's not just him. It's all of us. We think Tennessee is just perennially overrated, and he just brought it up. So definitely, I think, a solid pick here going with Tech plus 3. And the second pick, Washington minus 27.5 at Rutgers. No surprises here. Washington was a college football playoff team. Rutgers got shut out 24-0 by all the big teams in the Big Ten. So this seems academic to me as well. So to repeat, Georgia Tech plus 3, Washington minus 27.5. Ron in New Jersey in week one. So good luck to the picks there, Ron. Now let's go to John in Connecticut. And whenever you're ready, John, let's get your picks for week number one.
All right, Dave. We'll start off the year with two dogs, two road dogs. So we're going to be a little risky to start off the bat. And for game one, we'll go to a classic 12 p.m. matchup in the Big Ten between Wyoming and Iowa. And I'm going to take Wyoming getting 11.5 points on the road. We mentioned Wyoming last week on the show briefly when we talked about Josh Allen and how he's going to be the next kind of Carson Wentz-type player to come out of nowhere and be drafted high in the NFL draft next year. And this is the kind of game where you can showcase his talent. You know, he pretty much carried the entire team last year, and they made it to a bowl game, and they really played tough all year against a number of decent teams. They beat San Diego State. They beat Boise State. They nearly won their bowl game against BYU. They did lose some players, but Allen returns, which is the key here to this game. They're well coached. Craig Bowles done a pretty nice job with the program thus far. And Iowa, I mean, you know what they are with Kirk Ferentz. They had that one unbelievable year, really a fortunate year when they were one really Michigan State touchdown away from playing in the college football playoff. But other than that, they're going to be your typical 7-5, 8-4 Iowa team with a nice running game and a good defense. They do lose a lot of players from last year's team. They have a new starting quarterback. I just think it might take a little bit of time for them to fit all those pieces together. And technically, they're not really a big spread team to begin with. That's kind of Kirk Ferentz's deal. I mean, they're not really blowing out a lot of teams. I just think with Allen at quarterback for Wyoming, he just certainly makes them competitive in every game. And I think it's way too many points here. Certainly not going to call for an outright upset, but I think 11.5 is too many points. We'll go with the Cowboys of Wyoming plus 11.5 for game number one. Game two, I like this game even more than the first one. And I mentioned how I loved Troy last week on this show, that they could be one of the best group of five teams in the country. They're playing at Boise State, and this is just a fascinating game, week one. And you're getting 10.5 here with Troy. And I mentioned they returned pretty much their entire team from last year, like 18 or 19 starters. This is a team that won 10 games. One of their non-conference games last year was at Clemson in Death Valley. And this was the Clemson team with Deshaun Watson and all those other guys that just won the national title. And Troy could have beaten them. They had them, you know, tied or up, you know, or were ahead by like 3 points in the fourth quarter. They eventually went on to lose the game, but certainly they covered the massive spread that day and showed that they are a team that can play with anybody. And if they weren't afraid of going into Death Valley to play that Clemson team, they certainly won't be afraid to play at Boise State on the blue turf, where, you know, it used to be just an unbelievable home field advantage. But as we've mentioned and documented here on the show, they just had some inexplicable home losses. I mean, they lost to New Mexico at home, Air Force in the past couple of years, you know, with 4 or 5 turnovers in each game. I mean, this is just not your brother's Boise State team under Chris Peterson. They're still pretty talented. I'm not going to deny that. But I just don't think they're as well coached as they used to be, and they're not that dominant team, you know, that they were in the past at home. And I think 10.5, frankly, I think it's a gift. Maybe I'm completely wrong with this game, but I thought this spread should have been, you know, maybe 5 or 6, and you're getting 10.5 here. And so I love Troy in this matchup. So we'll go with them plus 10.5 in addition to the first pick, Wyoming plus 11.5, two road dogs to start us off on college football week number one.
Good stuff. Thanks for the picks, John. A Mountain West theme to your picks this week. I can dig that. Should be fun to watch. Always fun to watch the Mountain West, you know, as we go through the year. So let's get to my picks. And I can only go up. I mean, last year was a pretty bad spot. So let's get to it. Let's begin with, let's see, a team that really enjoys the option. But it's not Georgia Tech. No. It's Navy, and they are giving 9.5 at FAU. And I teased this for pretty much several weeks, but any chance to fade Lane Kiffin, I'm going to take that opportunity right off the bat. First of all, I think that for whatever he brings to the table with recruiting, FAU's going to take some time for their pieces to gel anyway. So I think they might be a little slow out of the box. So I think an experienced, a relatively experienced program. I can't speak to how experienced the players are, but the coach certainly has experience. I think we'll go with Navy. This is the more professional team of the two. So Navy minus 9.5. Game number two. is a situation where usually the team thrives. But when you talk about a team like the USC Trojans, this is a team that definitely does well against non-conference competition at home. I mean, they, 2 years ago, I used that to my advantage in selecting USC to give a very large point spread against. I couldn't remember who it was at the time. I think it was Idaho or somebody. And it worked out. But I can't see this against Western Michigan. Western Michigan lost some key pieces. First, of course, PJ Fleck, the coach, the heart and soul of that team. They lost Zach Terrell, their quarterback. I mean, he's definitely was solid, a big time leader. They lost Corey Davis, their standout wide receiver. I mean, he was a big part of that offense too. But they still return a very good offensive line, a very good backfield, and some good linebackers, and overall pretty decent team speed. I think, you know, when you talk about a team that went undefeated, they were only getting, I think they were getting like maybe like 12 or 13, 14. I mean, not more than that. Not much more than that for their New Year's Six Bowl in the Cotton Bowl against Wisconsin. I think it was Wisconsin, but yeah, it was Wisconsin. So to have them getting 27.5 seems like a little much. And again, some places have 26.5, so if you guys feel like it's 26, that's fine. But I saw it as 27.5. We are going to go Western Michigan plus 27.5 at USC. It just seems like a lot of points. I'd be very shocked if USC with like a lot of new talent, with a lot of guys that are probably freshmen starting out, would cover that big of a spread to start the year against a team that's, I would think, pretty capable, but we're going to find out, I guess, in a few days. So, to repeat, it's Navy minus 9.5, and Western Michigan getting 27.5 for week number one football picks here on the contest. Alrighty, so let's now go to our guest, and he is Chris in Georgia, who is just a master when it comes to posts on the MikeCrancesa.com, master of Photoshops, master of passion with college football. Let's see how he masters these two picks. Sorry, I didn't mean to put all that pressure on you, Chris. But Chris, it's all yours when you're ready.
Well, I don't have nearly as much to say about these games, but I'll give it a shot, Dave. Thanks. So first game, I'm going to start out with 3 p.m. Saturday. NC State, South Carolina at in Charlotte, I believe that game. It's at Bank of America Stadium. Intriguing matchup. John and Ron talked a lot about NC State's defense, which is looking to be really good. South Carolina had in my opinion, a better year than I thought they would have had last year under first-year coach Will Muschamp. I actually think that South Carolina is going to surprise some teams. I don't think they're going to be horrendous. I think they return 10 starters. And I think they'll be decent. They have this quarterback, Jake Bentley. People are really high on him. I think, you know, the defense will start to solidify. I'm going to take NC State and their really tough defense. They might have the best defense in the ACC this year. NC State minus 5 over the Gamecocks, and that is 3 p.m. on Saturday. Game 2, almost simultaneously, 3:30 p.m., is Michigan and Florida. And again, I'm going, you know, another SEC East team, and I'm intrigued by Florida just for the simple fact that, McElwain, you know, he came in offensive genius and really hasn't shown it yet. I think this is his third year, right? And at some point you think, okay, they got to break out and they're going to have a good offensive team, but I still don't see it. I think it's going to be rough. And again, this is a case where I think Michigan's defense is going to be nasty. Their defensive line is really solid. They have Rashawn Gary, who was the top recruit in the country a year ago, and Maurice Hurst Jr., who is the son of the former Patriots quarterback, both on the defensive line. Their defense is going to be stout. I think They'll get the running game going, and I think they'll win. And that is so I'm taking Michigan -5 over Florida. Going heavy against the SEC East. And that game is in Arlington, Texas, too. So both neither team is – I don't know how they consider it. Those road games. In both cases, maybe I'm taking the – I don't know. I guess the NC State game is probably considered a home game for NC State because it's in Charlotte. But anyways, those are my picks.
Good deal, good deal. And good luck to the picks, Chris. And we seem to get a lot more of these neutral side games to start the year. I don't remember anything like this when I started watching college football about 20, I don't know, however many years ago it was. I mean, it makes great money, obviously, but I wonder if these are advantageous for the individual programs other than the money aspect. Because, you know, for example, if you were to take, let's say, that Florida State-Alabama game, how much fun would that game be in Tuscaloosa? Like, that would be really, really interesting. It's still going to be interesting in Atlanta where the Mercedes-Benz Dome is, the new stadium. And by the way, Chris, you're right by there. Do you have any possible inkling of interest in going to see this game in the building?
You know, it's funny, Dave, you asked. I think that game is sold out. Wow. I've been to those Chick-fil-A kickoff. I've probably been to 3 or 4 of those games over the past few years. One time I went to Clemson, Auburn. I saw Ole Miss play Boise 1 year. I've been to a bunch of them. I don't think I'm going to go this year just because I got, you know, 2 little kids right now. It's harder to get away. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right. Those things are awesome. And Dave, there is going to be juice in that building because the fan bases from Tallahassee and Tuscaloosa will come to see that game. So it's going to be nuts. I mean, it really is. It's a fun weekend in Atlanta too. If you ever get a chance to come up, Andy, I encourage you as a Bama fan to, you know, I know the Bama will play there again. I encourage you to come for one of those games. It's a good time.
Yeah, next year I think it's Washington Auburn. So some of my buddies, I think, are going to potentially entertain the idea of going there. Maybe I piggyback and for UW that year.
Do it, man. I'll go. I mean, well, I'll get tickets and we can meet up there.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be good stuff. Yeah, I mean, I think the end result, you know, you're right. You're right, Chris. The end result is positive with these games. They're like mini Super Bowls. Like, it's really interesting how this has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger with every year. And so you were a little bit less about the home field advantage if the home field is coming with you. And it sounds like that's definitely the case. You certainly, I mean, if you talk about who's going to have the larger fan base in this game, I don't think there's really necessarily a consensus on that. It could go either way. It could probably be 50-50 at the end of the day. So pretty good stuff. So let's talk about some other stuff with college football, and we can go back to you, Andy, for a bit. Potpourri time, anything else you wanted to talk about with respect to the upcoming season, like things you wanted to look at, hot seat, you know, anything like that? What you have on your mind as we start another college football year?
Nothing too much. I mean, I'm also keen on that Wyoming quarterback. I know Francesca mentioned him, so everyone can make fun of him when the quarterback's doing well. And he's like, this guy's, you know, Mike called it, but then people will be like, nah, Mike didn't call it. But yeah, he did. So we'll definitely keep an eye on the Wyoming quarterback. I like John's pick of Troy. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's a rematch. I think Boise went to Troy last year, and I think the spread was like 20-something. And John was like, if Troy can't cover that 21-point spread, I'll be surprised. And I think Troy laid an egg, if I'm not mistaken, but they ended up having a pretty good year. Is that true, John, or am I thinking it's a different team?
Yeah, you're thinking of Louisiana Lafayette.
That's right. The Sun Belt. Yeah. Sun Belt. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes they all get mixed together. But no, Troy, I think they'll show up for this game. I'll be surprised.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. Yeah, but I do remember Boise playing. I guess it was the wrong Sun Belt team. But yeah, Sun Belt's entertaining. Don't get me wrong. They're always fun, whether it's Arkansas State or, you know, not Idaho anymore, but you know what I mean. But, yeah, looking forward to the season.
you know, the SEC East is, you know, they're poo. You know, in years past, if it was Michigan versus Florida, you know, I would eat up that whole theory, you know, the plotting Big Ten versus the speedy, the SEC. But you know what? The SEC East doesn't have a lot of speed in this day and age. And the two teams in the Big Ten that do kind of break away from the, you know, plotting, boring mold is Jim Harbaugh of Michigan and whatchamacallit, the guy that I don't like, Urban Meyer's Ohio State team. And I do like what Michigan has been doing under Harbaugh. You know, they still have some quarterback issues. You know, they got to find someone that's pretty consistent there. But I would definitely lean Michigan in that game. And, you know, Chris is right about Jim McElwain. You know, he was Nick Saban's, like, OC for a while. Then he ran a pretty good program at Colorado State. And for whatever reason, he just hasn't been able to find a signal caller in Gainesville that can actually, you know, play for an entire year. You know, he's either getting somebody that gets hurt, someone that gets suspended for drug, someone that gets in trouble for disciplinary scenarios. So, you know, you got to have a sturdy signal caller if you're going to be consistent. And, you know, I'll also be into this UCLA A&M game because, you know, there's got to be a time where A&M start out 5-0 every year and then, you know, lay an egg from the middle of October on. And you guys hit it on the nose last week. That's like a hot seat versus hot seat type of game.
Yep.
And at least Mora has, like, you know, one of the top quarterbacks in the country. I think that game last year was kind of a disappointment when the game, I don't know if it was neutral, if it was in A&M or somewhere in Texas, but, you know, I don't think UCLA, for whatever reason, came to play. So maybe they'll have some payback this weekend in the rematch. And then lastly, for the potpourri segment, our friend PK, or PD, the number one Rutgers fan / mascot, as a joke today, I said something like, Rutgers is going to keep it close. And he responded with like a two-paragraph, like very realistic for his standards. Like, he made this case that Rutgers could definitely keep it close. And I kind of just skimmed it because I couldn't buy into it. But he cited the fact that UW is, to be fair, they are playing without two of their best players on defense for the game. They Peterson suspended two of their best players for this game for, I think they failed a drug test. But PK said they have a chance because of that, and they got a new quarterback, and anything can happen. But, yo, bro, it's still Rutgers, man.
good old T-Jam. You can always count on a response. All right, so let's go to John for some potpourri. What's on your mind as we go into the season? I mean, we covered some of this last week, too, but any other topics you wanted to bring up as we start off the year?
Oh, man, Dave, we covered a lot last week. I would suggest next year maybe just stick to the conferences and, you know, hand-wave the storylines. So that was a long, long time. You know, nothing against you. It was fun, but, you know, we definitely covered a lot of stuff. But
yeah.
That's
true.
Yeah, I mean, just looking forward to the week. I mean, I like watching the big games. I'll be watching Bama and Florida State like everyone, but I just love the obscure kind of teams that no one really watches, and just watch, you know, having a hypothetical wager on those games and watching them, like like Georgia Appalachian State this weekend. I mean, that'll be a really interesting game to watch. That probably not a lot of people might be watching that game, or even at earlier in the day, Maryland and Texas, or Cal and North Carolina, just games like that kind of are under the radar. That, and even the two games that I picked, I mean, I'll be more interested in watching those games than some of the other ones. So I don't know. I just like watching any and all college football. I mean, I'm a masochist, Dave. I might actually go to the UConn Holy Cross game tomorrow night. So,
wow.
You know, that's, yeah, exactly. So that just tells you all you need to know about me in college football. But so just, you know, again, looking forward to hopefully making some better picks this year, and you know, we'll hopefully it'll be a good season.
Yeah, certainly. Let's go to Chris now. In addition to potpourri, I was interested to see what you thought that Clemson could do You know, it did seem that some people were quitting on them a little bit too much. I mean, considering that, you know, they still have a lot of the guys from last year. What do you think their ceiling could be this year? I mean, not many are picking them to win the ACC, but do you think that what they have next in line and quarterback could be enough to get them close?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, you know, it'll be interesting because Clemson had one of the top quarterback recruits in the country in Hunter Johnson. And so he's going to be the understudy to Kelly Bryant. I think I have that name right. I should know this, but I think it's Hunter Johnson. I expect that he'll play a decent amount. And I think it'll be sort of like, I don't know. I mean, I don't have any information on this, but I predict that he's going to play and they're going to bring him along similar to what they did with Deshaun a few years ago when he was a freshman and they had Cole Stout. And Cole Stout started the season. I don't know if you remember this. And I believe it was in the FSU game where Deshaun got the start. And Deshaun, every time he came in, he was making plays and he showed you something. I predict something similar will happen here as far as the quarterback. But you're right. They are returning. I mean, their defense is, you know, largely intact. They lost Mike Williams at receiver. But, you know, Deion Kane can certainly step up. You know, they have tons of, you know, they have tons of depth there. So, it really, in my opinion, it comes down to the QB and what kind of production they can get there. But I'm greatly excited. I can't wait for the season to start. One thing I forgot to mention about Florida is they have a redshirt freshman starting. He's a four-star recruit, Felipe. What's his name? Felipe Frank. And so that might be worth watching. That's one thing I forgot to mention in my prediction. Things I'm looking forward to. I mean, it's funny as I look at, we're talking about those Chick-fil-A games. I'm looking at that Georgia Tech Tennessee game. That there's still plenty of tickets available for that, and it's 8 p.m. on Monday. I might have to go to that now. Ooh. Now that I think about it.
How far are you from Neyland Stadium, or wherever that game's being played?
The Mercedes-Benz?
Oh, they're going to play that there too? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Oh, yeah. Okay. That's pretty easy. Yeah, I would go. I mean, it's Labor Day. You got all, you know, you don't have to work. I mean, that'd be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, I love it. This first week, you know, it used to be a dead zone. There used to be nothing. And now they put these awesome games in there. You used to wait like 2 or 3 weeks before it felt like the season started. Now you get these like sick matchups. I don't know. I'm into it. The West Virginia, Virginia Tech game, obviously. I'll be flipping around. I mean, I don't get to watch as much as I used to, but I'll be flipping around for sure.
Yeah, I mean, and having all these night games too. But didn't we have a pretty good one last year? I think Florida State versus Ole Miss, or was that later in the year when they played that one? Guys, you remember when that was? When was that game?
That was the first week, wasn't it?
I thought so too. It was like maybe. Yeah,
I want to say that was in Orlando last year. I could be mistaken.
Yeah, I think it was somewhere else, right? It wasn't. It was like Orlando or something like that. Yeah. I believe.
Yeah,
that's
because Bama played USC in Dallas, and then I forget what the Chick-fil-A game was, but I'm pretty sure Ole Miss and Florida State played in Orlando last year.
Right, and then that was a game where one team fell behind.
That was a Monday night game.
That was Monday night. Yeah, that's right. So. That got interesting.
If Florida State came back, I don't know what you want to call them, like they got shot out of a cannon. I think Ole Miss started really good, and then Jim Kelly's nephew turned into Jim Kelly's nephew, and Florida State ended up winning by a bunch. Yeah. I think so. I don't know. I think that's what happened.
There was definitely a big comeback involved somewhere in there, and I think you're right. I think they just stormed it after that. Like, they just blew them away out of the water. So I think that's one reason why I like Florida State this year, because they got Francois coming back. I mean, yeah, I don't believe they have some of the big pieces, but a lot of them are coming back. So It would seem that they would probably be the favorite in the ACC, but honestly, there's also stuff that they have questions marks about too, so we don't really know. And similar thing in the Big Ten, and I'll just give it to you really quickly, Andy. Gun to your head, are you picking Michigan or Ohio State to win the Big Ten? You may have already said this, but I forgot. But where do you see it?
Oh, just I like Michigan to beat them last year, and obviously wrong about that. But I like Michigan. Ohio State, just I'm not an Urban Meyer guy, so that's I always feel like the media makes way too many cases for Ohio State. You know, it's almost like they feel sorry. They want everyone to feel sorry for Ohio State when Urban Meyer is like pleading his case to get in the BCS scenario. And it's just like, enough is enough. He's a fraud. He's a total fraud.
All right, Andy. So we have the prediction from Andy in Seattle. So guys, it's certainly going to be a lot of fun this weekend, and I hope you guys enjoy your Labor Day wherever it may be. Do you guys usually take trips or anything? Like John, you said you're going to go see UConn. Any travel aside from that planned?
No, Dave. My travel is 2 weeks from now. When I will, I mentioned before, I'll be in Seattle for 2 days and then Vegas for four. So that's going to be an exciting vacation.
Oh, yeah. Good deal. Yeah. And so I imagine plans hopefully are in the mix to get Andy and you to meet up and stuff. That sounds good. And I think.
Yeah. Hopefully, we'll have to arrange something.
Yeah. Andy.
Absolutely.
Any plans for you, Andy, for the weekend?
My mom's gonna come to visit, so I've got to carve out some time to, watch Florida State, Bama, watch a little Red Sox, Yankees. Weather should be nice out here, and definitely have to pay attention to this week one. You know, we got to be careful now. We live in this hot take, recency bias. Must react to everything like it's either the worst thing or the best thing in the world type of scenario. So we can't go crazy over some of these week one performances. You know, it was only a few years ago when Kenny Hill's son or nephew basically destroyed South Carolina in that one game, and people were literally saying how he could win the Heisman, and then by the middle of the year he was off the team and just completely gone. So we just gotta be careful with these week one games. I mean, yeah, obviously teams can make a statement and teams can obviously have their season basically eliminated. You know, last year Washington State lost to they always lose to these, you know, whether it's a Big Sky team or these 1AA schools, and you know, so don't lose. You don't want to lose like to a really bad team week one, but you know, it's a long way to New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, so. It'll be fun. You know, this Florida State-Alabama game should be fun. Like, you know, if Florida State did their homework, they'd probably watch a lot of that Clemson National Championship game because, you know, that you don't see a lot of times when Alabama is playing in a big game. You know, that second half, their defense was getting frustrated. Their players were pointing at each other, you know, blaming each other for either blown coverages or, you know, that's my responsibility, that's your guy. You know, they were really frustrated. And so maybe Florida State study that game tape. You know, Alabama is a team, as you all know, we all know, like, you know, Florida State, they want to win. They can't have Alabama score while they're on defense. They probably did that 8 or 9 times last year. And Alabama is they're not unfamiliar with playing in these preseason, or not preseason, but these early games against marquee schools, whether it's USC, West Virginia. You got to give them credit. You know, the SEC, they'll always play those stupid schools the third week of November. But to Saban's credit, he does schedule a top tier team to open up the season. And like you all said, you know, Florida State and Alabama, both those schools could lose on Saturday and still be there playing in the New Year's Day playoff game, just because we have that system now in place. And
you know, they're already in the top five, so they'll have plenty of time to recover and make up for the loss, whoever it may be.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's going to be a fun game, definitely a good test, but it's not going to kill either team if they lose. So they should be good to go the rest of the way. Let's go to Chris. Any weekend plans in addition to your thoughts about possibly going to the Monday game?
No, nothing planned. I'm going to stay local, obviously. I'm seriously thinking about going to the game on Monday night now. The funny thing about that weekend in Atlanta is you have two like competing events. You have obviously the college football games this year. It's two games, which brings like an enormous amount of people into downtown Atlanta from out of town. And the other thing is Dragon Con, which is a science fiction convention, which also brings, you know, thousands and thousands of people. So you have like this oil and water scenario in downtown Atlanta where people are dressed in costumes and then you have people from like from like Boise State.
That is
so
funny.
It's pretty entertaining. And they have a big parade Saturday morning, so I'll take my kids there on Saturday just to see the costumes and walk around. But nothing big. However, that Tennessee Georgia Tech, I mean, that's not that bad a game, you know. Really, I mean, I know we goof on Tennessee, but a good ACC SEC matchup. It's not bad.
No, anyways, sir.
So that's it.
Yeah, could be fun. So all you guys have a good time with all those things, and that's basically it. We'll be back next week, and we'll do a little really, really quick NFL preview. I mean, really, really, really quick, because there's not much to say, I guess. But we'll do that. And, Chris, thank you again for being a guest on the program, and good luck to your picks. We hope that
thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And, guys, Andy and John, good times again. I'll post the picks online in just a moment. And good luck to the picks, and looking forward to another good year. It should be fun. So take care, guys. Enjoy the weekend.
All right, thanks, Dave. We'll see you.
Bye, Dave.
Yeah,
thanks.
Good luck, everybody. Great to be back.
Good luck.
Likewise.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. All right, guys, so take it easy. Andy in Seattle, John in Connecticut, and our guest Chris in Georgia. I'm Dave Medina. You can follow us at DidCow or go to our website, www.didcow.com, where we will be there all year long. We'll be there with the picks. And our thanks to Ron for sending his picks in. We'll have him back next week, hopefully. Enjoy Labor Day weekend and don't barbecue too burnt out there or whatever. Barbecue well, stay cool, and we'll see you next time.